Welcome to the Global Gaming Business Podcast, the industry's first and longest running podcast, now in our 16th year. I'm Roger Gross, the publisher of GGB, and this week we sit down with Brant Iden, the head of U.S. government affairs for the online sports betting supplier Sportradar, on how he helped to guide the legislation of sports betting in Michigan when he was a legislator there. This week's podcast is brought to you by Konami Gaming. Later in the show, I'll have some special information about what's coming next for Konami's All Aboard and Dimension 49J. Let's see what you have done now. I made me love you. The legalization of iGaming and sports betting in Michigan may not have been pretty, but it has been efficient and effective. As the prime sponsor of the bill, Brant Iden struggled for years to get it passed, only to see former Governor Rick Snyder, a Republican like himself, veto the bill. Starting from square one with new Democrat Governor Gretchen Whitmer, Iden was able to form a bipartisan coalition that collected the best practices of iGaming legalization to help pass a law that has been more than successful from the start. After leaving the legislature, Iden joined Sportradar to help other states realize the realities and possibilities of legalizing iGaming and sports betting. He spoke with me from his home office in Michigan in June. Welcome to the Global Gaming Business Podcast. Our guest today is Brant Iden. Brant is the Vice President of Government Relations for Sportradar now, but we're really going to talk about his experience as a legislator in the state of Michigan to get the sports betting and online gaming bill passed there. He was the principal sponsor there. And Brant, thanks for joining us.
Oh, this is fantastic. Great to be on with you today.
Michigan really seems to have launched sports betting and iGaming in a really efficient and effective manner. You know, since you were one of the prime sponsors of us, why don't you give us a little background of you know, how it came to be? Obviously, it started after PASPA was repealed back in 2018. And also, the real interesting part here is how come the first governor vetoed it? I mean, and then what changes had made? So why don't you just give us some background on how that happened?
Yeah, so it was, I will tell you, I worked on this for about 5 years, and it may well go down in history as one of the hardest things I've had to work on. I will tell you, so to give you a background, it actually started before PASPA.
Okay.
Was even sort of in the conversation. We started out in the end of 16-17 with an iGaming bill.
Right.
And this was really modeled after what New Jersey had done. Mm-hmm. And started to think about, okay, you know, Michigan's a gaming state.
Sure,
what's
right.
The next step? Obviously, I'm a player myself. I've always told people I love the industry. How can we be helpful? So we started out with an iGaming bill.
Okay.
And that bill had one byline in it.
Right.
And the line basically just said, and I'm paraphrasing, but it basically just said, should sports betting ever become legal,
mm-hmm.
the Gaming Control Board can regulate it.
Right.
And that was it. And so it's crazy.
Okay.
So that was it. That was all that was in the bill. And so we pushed the bill through all the way to the bitter end. I got it done in 18 when outgoing Governor Rick Snyder, a Republican like myself and a
right.
very good friend, calls me up. This is a great story. So this is, you know, we put thousands of bills on his desk. We had gone through a terrible lame duck. I mean, it was just grueling.
Sure.
And I fought to get this to the governor's desk. And I'm sitting there with my staff having a burger at one of the local burger joints in Lansing. And I get a call. And I know he's signing a whole bunch of bills. And I look at my staff and I go, it's the governor calling. They said, well, you got to take it. So I get on the phone. Governor, hey, how are you? He goes, well, I got some good news and some bad news. I said, yeah, okay, tell me what. He said, the good news is you got reelected, so you got a whole other year term to work on this. He goes, the bad news is I'm going to veto it. And I said, well, why? And he said, you know what? Honestly, nobody thought you could get this thing done, and we haven't done any prep work on this. We don't know how it's going to impact the budget. We don't know how it's going to impact the lottery. And so really, yeah, and so everybody was like, we didn't think you could do it. And so when we finally got it to his desk, so we had to start all over again in 19, obviously, and we'll get into that. We worked with the new governor on that and finally got it signed in December of 2019. But it was a long process, and the bill obviously morphed over time, and we
sure.
got sports betting involved, and so it was a fun process, but it was excruciating.
Yeah, sure. Well, you know, you have so many gaming constituencies up there. You have the racetracks, you have the tribal casinos, and the commercial casinos. You must have had to weigh, you know, the pressure from that side of the equation as much as you have to weigh from the other side.
Absolutely. And, you know, when we finally were able to get this done, it was bringing everybody together. It was bringing the commercial casinos together with the tribals to come up with a very unique system that we have in Michigan. And then the governor was very adamant that no matter what happened, the new governor, Governor Whitmer, was very adamant that we could not impact the lottery in any way whatsoever. These dollars were dedicated to education, and there was just this tremendous fear throughout the entire course of the negotiation that any dollars that would go to iGaming or sports betting would take away from iLottery, brick and mortar lottery. And so that education process, you know, took a whole nother year to get us to that point.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. That sounds like it's very complicated. Now, getting the tribes involved, were you really the first state to do that? I mean, I know Connecticut and Florida have done it since then, but Michigan was the first state to actually get the tribes involved, correct?
Yeah, I mean, really, the way I always say it is, it was certainly the most populous state with the heaviest tribal influence to be able to get something done. And we actually created a very unique structure in Michigan. So it actually goes outside of the frame of the compact. So like in Connecticut and in Florida, what you've seen are actually compact amendments and compact changes.
Right.
What we did in Michigan was we created a system where the tribes give up a small piece of sovereignty, and when they want to do basically off reservation, either iGaming or sports, they basically have to go to the state and apply for licensure with a partner in some cases, like you see Bay Mills and DraftKings and so on and so forth.
Right. So, you know, having covered tribal gaming, you know, my whole career, you know, I know they're very, very reluctant to give up any kind of sovereignty. How did you convince them that this was a better system?
A lot of trust, a lot of time, a lot of, you know, I mean, I will tell you this, in my experience in working with the tribes, and I don't blame the tribes, but, you know, if you go to some tribal councils or leaders and say, hey, I'm from the government, and I'm here to help, they laugh you out of the room.
Yeah, sure.
This is not something that, and so it really takes a lot of trust building.
Yeah.
And it was, and the tribes knew that there was going to be certainly monetary gain and economic boon to their tribes from this, but they wanted to make sure that it was done fairly and that it was done equitably. And that was the biggest thing. We had to create a system that was fair and equitable so everybody could launch at the same time, everybody got market access, and that's the system that we came up with. Interestingly enough, we sort of modeled this off when we originally thought about this, the tribes have to give up a little bit of their sovereignty to apply through the state for their liquor license.
Okay.
And so this is what sort of gave us the initial idea that this could be done in some limited capacity.
Okay. Well, yeah, that makes sense. As long as they've given up a little bit to begin with, I mean, probably, you know, and the return is certainly great. I think that makes sense for them to do that.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Great. So how did you set up the regulatory system? Was it just, you know, plug it into the gaming commission that's already established?
So the gaming commission does oversee this. Mm-hmm. The gaming commission never really dealt with any sort of tribal entities before.
Sure.
And so we had to create a whole new structure for internet gaming and sports. And so the gaming control board did a fantastic job. It took them 12 months to get up and running. And I know that folks thought, when's it coming? When's it coming?
Right.
But now, and then obviously a huge boom in January. And we've seen great revenue since to the state and a tremendous amount of excitement.
Yeah, no question. You know, I think... The inclusion of iGaming in this, I'm surprised you. I forgot that you had initially done the iGaming bill, and sports betting was kind of tagged along on that. Yeah,
that's right.
So did you realize at the time that you know the revenue from iGaming is going to be much more in terms of the state than it is for sports betting?
That was always sort of the intention. I mean, you know, in working with these stakeholders, you know, the mantra always was, Brent, there's not really a lot of money in sports.
Right.
The money has got to come from internet gaming.
Right.
And we've really seen that.
Yeah.
I mean, the dollars that have come into the city of Detroit, the state, now our schools, this has really been iGaming driven and not so much sports. Sports has been great. Michigan's a fantastic sports state.
Of course, right.
But it's really been the iGaming dollars that are going to be the most impactful. And it's disappointing that more states haven't really sort of followed that model and pushed iGaming at the same time where they're pushing sports.
Right, yeah. And we're seeing a lot of them double back now, saying, "Oh, we got to get iGaming on." You know, that's been. I think Indiana did it that way, correct? So they're bringing iGaming on now after sports betting was legalized.
That's exactly right. The conversation has sort of started, well, look at how great sports betting's doing. Let's look at iGaming. And I always say, look, if you're going to go for the whole enchilada, if you're going to do it,
sure,
do it all at once.
Right.
And I look at, like, I've talked to my friends in Ohio and other places, and I've said, look, you're a big gaming state.
Sure.
Eventually, you know, you've got these casino interests, you've got track interests. Let's go ahead and you're looking at e-bingo in the current legislation anyway. Let's just go ahead and do internet gaming at the same time.
Yeah, no question.
It's a bigger lift.
Yeah.
There's no doubt that it's a bigger lift than just sports.
Right.
People view sports as more sort of a common, I do squares with my friends.
Right.
I bet on the NCAA. iGaming's a little bit more unique.
Right. But that's where the money is. So.
But that's where the money is.
Eventually they'll come around. Yeah, exactly. So what kind of input did you look when you were designing that bill? You mentioned New Jersey. Did you go and meet with the regulators in New Jersey and ask how they did it?
Yeah, so we had a lot of conversations with folks in New Jersey.
Right.
I had met with I had a great opportunity to sit with Governor Chris Christie while I was working on the bill, and I got his input. And, you know, he's great to sit with, you know, and he'll tell you all the pitfalls and everything he had to deal with in Murphy v. NCAA. And
right.
I mean, it was really exciting. And so, you know, I really felt that the competitive open New Jersey model was the way that we wanted to go in Michigan.
Sure.
We wanted to keep tax rates as low as we could. We wanted to make sure that we were pushing an open and competitive market. And New Jersey was really the thought leader in the whole thing. And so that was really the driving force behind where we went in Michigan.
Okay.
Obviously, with the tribal component, it was different, but we were able to get there.
Sure. So you didn't have any temptation to put the tax rate really high then, because, that'll bring in the most money, right?
No. I think the opposite
of course,
that.
Of course, right.
I'll tell you. So what we ended up doing was we're at 8.4% on sports in Michigan. The Detroit casinos pay an additional city tax of 3%.
Right.
And that keeps us pretty low on sports. We offset that by high rates on internet gaming.
Right.
And so we've got a sliding scale that could go up to potentially 23%,
right,
depending on the revenue that comes in.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, that brings in the money.
Sure, absolutely.
But we always wanted to keep sports betting low and competitive.
Right.
And, you know, luckily the other stakeholders agreed to that higher tax rate. That the guy would have kept it a lot lower than the governor wanted it,
right,
trust
yeah.
me. But she was really pushing that high tax rate.
Well, she's
me.
A Democrat.
So, you know, everything's a negotiation, and we were able to get there.
Yeah,
so.
Absolutely. I think it made a lot of sense. So in between Snyder and Governor Whitmer, did you have a lot of changes like that?
Oh, a tremendous amount.
Yeah.
We had hours and hours of meetings. I remember one meeting that went, we thought we were going to get there. This was about 6 months into the process with the new administration.
Right.
And I had tickets to go see the Doobie Brothers. I was going to go see the Doobie Brothers that night, and I canceled it. And I said, all right, I'm not going to the concert. I said, we're going to grind this thing out. We sat there in negotiations till about midnight with all the stakeholders, and finally it just fell apart. And so I was just devastated. Mm. This is 6 months in now,
right,
into 2019. And I thought, I looked at my staff and I said, I don't know if we're ever going to get there on this thing. I mean, tonight was going to be the night. And finally, we were able to bring it together at the ninth hour, and it was everybody giving a little bit more, making that final push. And, you know, the speaker to work with in Michigan was absolutely fantastic. The Senate Majority Leader helped me get this done, and it was, you know, we were able to get it over the finish line, but it was excruciating.
Yeah, it sounds like it for sure. So give us some of the details in terms of the skins that each property, each licensee is allowed to put out there.
Yeah, so the way we set it up with, you know, branding was a big issue, especially for the tribal casinos that had spent so much money on their advertising. You take a place like Firekeepers, I use that as a big one in Michigan. They've spent a tremendous amount of money on building that brand. And so what we did is we set up sort of three different lines where you could do an internet gaming, you could do a sports betting, and then a poker if you wanted to do it. Or you could brand them all together. And we've seen that. What's interesting is that we've seen some tribes not partner with a commercial partner. And go this alone. And you've seen that now. I use Firekeepers as an example. They just rolled out their internet gaming platform a couple weeks ago.
Right.
I hear it's going tremendously well. And that's been great. What we've done in Michigan is we set up an opportunity for you to go it alone if you want, or you can partner if you feel that that's better for you.
Right.
I mean, a place like Bay Mills, that's 8 hours from where I'm at in southern Michigan by car.
Sure.
You know, not a lot of people going to be driving by the Bay Mills casino. And their partnership has been able to do wonders for their reservation.
Sure. So are all the tribes on board right now?
Oh, good question. I think so. I mm-hmm. think there may be one or two that hasn't launched yet, but I think it's pretty much everybody in the marketplace that is launched. I think that they're pretty much all up and running. And
right.
from what I hear, the feedback, it's been going well. Yeah. Obviously, it's been, you know, the past couple months have been slow with sports after the NCAA.
Sure, right.
So the numbers have dipped naturally, but we've seen that. But, you know, I'm getting a lot of positive feedback.
Yeah, yeah, no question. I mean, I think they're all interested in, you know, promoting their own brands for sure. So what, can somebody from outside the state come in and buy a casino or something and jump in that way? Or I guess you have to partner with one of the entities, correct?
You do. The way our constitution's set up is that we have got the compacted tribes,
right.
and then you've got the three commercial casinos that were basically passed in via ballot initiative.
Right.
And it's only those three in those specific locations. Mm-hmm. So I suppose you could come in and purchase MGM.
Right.
I suppose you could do that.
Right.
We saw that actually when Dan Gilbert sold the Penn National, and
right.
now we've got Barstool.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, that's, but you couldn't really go in and just apply for a new license. There's only three licenses in the state for commercial casinos, and those have already been committed.
Sure, so. Sure.
Last fall, GGB saw Konami's All Aboard during the Winnovation Roadshow, as well as during a tour of their Las Vegas showroom. Since then, the game has amassed a huge player following and continues to reach new locations. What we knew would become an important premium game for Konami has become one of the industry's biggest games in the last 12 months. I've heard from Konami that there's more to come for the Dimension J Curve cabinet and the All Aboard game series. I'm looking forward to see what's down the road. Now back to our podcast.
So one of the things you always have to consider when crafting a bill like this is the negative effects, the problem gambling and that kind of thing. So I know you had a lot of responsible gaming issues that you had to deal with. How did you overcome that?
So, yeah, especially when you talk about iGaming, one of the biggest concerns for legislators is the addiction issues.
Right.
And so we really put that at the forefront. We dedicated specific revenue dollars to go directly to problem gaming that was able to go to DHHS. They've been able to staff up. And, you know, I've heard, as happens, that, you know, the call center's been a little bit busier than usual.
Right.
And that's going to happen as you bring new offerings into the marketplace.
Sure.
But we were very diligent in making sure we carved out additional dollars. And I think that there's more to be done.
Sure.
When I spoke to my colleagues after the legislation was signed, I said, we can do more on problem gaming. We've always had this conversation.
Right.
And that needs to continue throughout the country. As more and more states come on board, we need to make that a focus and we need to address this. And so it's something that myself and other industry stakeholders are now working on.
Sure.
In my role as Radar and other
right.
things, we're really taking a hard look at this and saying, you know, what can we do to help folks with addiction? In addition to just dollars, there's
right.
more that can be done.
Sure, sure. Absolutely. I mean, we're talking about, you know, when somebody puts himself on the safe self-exclusion list, they can go to another state and gamble there. But if that is, you know, across, you know, all the jurisdictions, you know, you can effectively, you know, protect somebody who's got an issue with problem gambling.
That's right. That's right. You know, I've told this story a couple times only because I think it's kind of interesting. I got some reports early on that there were, that first month of sports wagering, the call center at DHHS was being inundated with callers.
Right.
And so we said, boy, is problem gaming on the rise? And we certainly know it is. We've got to focus on this. And then about a week later, the director came out and said, well, actually, about half those calls were people calling because they couldn't log into their accounts. And so
right.
so when they saw the problem gaming number, they
right.
thought, oh, well, this is who I call with my
right.
app. And so they called the 1-800 number. For the, and, you know, I've sort of joked a little bit about it. It's very important. We have to focus
right.
on it. But
sure.
I do say, well, a lot of those calls you got to look at. Wait a minute, these people were trying to log onto
right.
their accounts and download and put money into their accounts. So let's let this play out a little bit
sure.
and see really where the numbers
right,
come
right.
out.
It's going to take a while to really see how that levels out. But I think you definitely have to pay attention to it for sure.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So in your new role at Sport Radar, you're obviously speaking to a lot of other states that are considering legalization of both sports betting and iGaming. So what does it come to when you recommend things to these legislators that are looking at this? Do you have them look at things like problem gambling and competitive landscapes and that kind of thing?
Absolutely. So, yeah, my new role is head of U.S. government affairs. I'm traveling the country, speaking to legislators about sports betting in particular, not as much about iGaming, but focusing on sports betting. And you're absolutely right. We're talking about keeping tax rates low. We're talking about opening competitive markets, allowing, you know, a lot of operators to come in and work in that space helps bring the revenue into the state.
Sure.
And one thing that I really focus on is, you know, and this is where I started with the legislation. You have to remember that this is about consumer protections.
Right.
Really, at the end of the day, people are playing offshore. People are gambling in the anyway, they're doing this.
Yeah.
And so it gets a little frustrating when I see like Governor Cuomo talk about just the dollars.
Right.
That's very important to the state. But at the same time, you have to remember that this is about, as legislators in my former role, it's about protecting people.
Sure.
And it's about everything that the state deals with those consumer protections, everything from purchasing a car to, you know, buying alcohol, right? It's what state legislators deal with.
Sure.
And gaming is no different. And so this is really about, so when I talk to folks, I say, look, put those consumer protections first and then make sure that you're keeping tax rates low, you're making the market competitive, and you're not just doing things that seem like the right thing to do. Like, had a conversation in Massachusetts just yesterday about, well, we feel like we should exclude collegiate sports. And then I say, well, wait a minute. If you exclude collegiate sports, you're just going to continue to push your consumers offshore because people are still going to wager on collegiate sports.
Exactly, right.
And so it's sort of those education things that we work through and highlighting those key things that make a market competitive and make it successful.
Right, right. And we've seen that in a lot of states where they, we're not going to gamble on our big universities, you know, because, they're amateurs, you know, but people are going to bet on them anyway, you know.
I'll tell you what, if I excluded Big Ten football, they'd have ran me out of the state.
That's true. That's for sure. Definitely. How's it been working for Sport Radar? I know it's a really cutting edge sports data company. Give us a little bit of background on Sport Radar.
Yeah, so it's absolutely been fantastic. I tell people every day that I get to get up and talk about gambling and sports, and they pay me to do it. I've got the best job in the world. It's been fantastic. Sport Radar is really the global leader when it comes to data and providing data, whether it be for betting services, media, integrity services. We touch every aspect of this, and I think it's because the consumers and sometimes the legislators don't see Sport Radar because we're right in the center of that ecosystem.
Sure, right.
They forget about us, but without us, it wouldn't work.
Yeah.
We do the data, and so it's really been great working with all the operators, all my friends that I work down with the legislation. It's just been a tremendous opportunity, and I'm enjoying it every day. And I'm happy to be through the pandemic. That's for sure.
Yes.
Or at the back end of it, wherever we're at, I'm
happy
to be
for
there.
Sure. Yeah. So you work with the operators and then the platform providers and the entire spectrum of the companies involved in sports betting and iGaming.
Absolutely. And then the other side, of course, are our league partnerships.
I mean,
this wouldn't work without them either. So we partner with our friends in the leagues, obviously take that data. I call it, we run it through our special sauce and we kick it out to our operator friends. And that's what makes the system work. And we really, truly fall right in the center of that ecosystem. When I'm in states talking about it, these are sort of the nuances, the supplier licenses and the fees that have to be paid. And these are sort of some of the specifics that I work on every day. But really, it's still big picture, right? It's still making sure that we can create as much market access across the country to players that people, folks that we know, consumers that are already playing offshore. We want to bring them into a regulated market that's safe and secure so you don't have to worry about cashing a check from a Chinese bank.
Yeah.
Can't be done.
Sure. Right. Exactly. Great.
Right.
Great. Well, I just have one more question. How many states do you believe, you know, will eventually legalize sports betting and iGaming in this country?
It's a great question. You know, I will tell you, I think we're already ahead of the curve. At the beginning of the year, I was asked the question, I think I said five for this year.
Right.
And I think we're already at five or six.
Sure.
So, I think that really in the next, by 2025, I predict that just about the entire U.S. will be there.
Yeah.
There will be states like Utah and perhaps some others that just don't have, that will probably never have gaming in any capacity. But I believe California is going to get there. I think Texas is going to get there. It'll be interesting to see what IGRA does with what happens on the IGRA issues in Florida. But I think that the Department of Interior will likely push things through there, and that'll be interesting to see. But I think eventually we will see some form of large expansion of gaming in this country, similar to what we've seen in Europe, that's been, you know, ahead of the curve here in the U.S. for a number of years.
Sure.
And I'd like to see iGaming as part of that.
Sure, absolutely. So when you talk about California, obviously there's a real parallel between what happened in Michigan with the tribes here. Are you talking to some people out there about how you guys solved that problem?
Absolutely. That's been a pretty much a weekly conversation that I've had, meeting with the tribes. Obviously, we're watching the ballot initiative very closely. Looks like that's going to be on in 2022 at this point in time, and I think it'll pass overwhelmingly. We want to make sure that we can – that's just for retail. We'd like to see that mobile statewide component piece get on there as soon as possible.
Right.
But sharing our experiences from Michigan is what I do in some of these tribal states daily. You know, here's something that works. It's not going to work in every state, but here's an option. Here's something to look at.
Sure, absolutely. Well, Brand, thanks for joining us. The bill you were involved with in Michigan really turned out to be a success for the state, and I'm sure your advice that you're giving through Sport Radar will help the other states really get on board with the same success as Michigan had.
Yeah, it's been fantastic. Thanks so much for having me on. I really appreciate it, Ryder.
Great.
Recording stopped.
Okay, perfect. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. We're doing a story in our next issue on sports data. So we're going to talk to some people in your company. So we're looking forward to doing that. And we haven't partnered with you guys. We're on board with Canby and BetConstruct and some of the other companies, but we haven't been able to really figure out how we can work with you. So if you could pass that along to some marketing people or something like that, that'd be great.
Let me know. I'd love to be a part of that.
Yeah.
If you've got something you want to send me, something you want me to forward on from a sponsorship perspective or whatever it is, I'm happy to do it.
Right, great.
Happy to do it.
Okay, so. We'll do that. I'm also going to make an intro with you and a friend of mine who works for Sigma, the gaming company out of Malta. She's helped put together conferences, and I think you'd be perfect on some of those panels. So I'm going to do an intro between you and her at some point in the next couple of weeks here.
Awesome.
Okay.
Love to do it.
Great.
And next time I'm out in Vegas, I'll look you up. Hopefully I'll be out. Well, I'll be out for G2E, but I may be out before then.
Yeah, so. I'm not in Vegas right now. I'm in Atlantic City, thank God, because it's 117 in Vegas today. And
So do you go out to Atlantic City for the summer?
Yeah, I have a house in Atlantic City on the water here, so I get the sea breeze, and I get away from the heat. And at the same time,
I don't blame you. That's a lot nicer.
Yeah, and at the same time, in the wintertime, I get away from the freezing rain here in Atlantic City. So
you got to figure it out.
I have the best of both worlds. You know, it's working out well. So great. It was great talking to you. And let's stay in touch.
Okay, sounds good. Thanks, Rob. Okay. See you later.
Hope you enjoyed this week's podcast. With special thanks to Konami Gaming. Reach out to your Konami rep if you're headed to the Vegas area for next month's NIGA to schedule a private site showing with Konami. To learn more about sports betting in Michigan and iGaming in other states, visit ggbmagazine.com. To get all the news of the gaming industry, particularly of the recovery from the pandemic, including daily updates, subscribe for free at ggbnews.com by using the code GGB180. Don't miss a single episode of the GGB Podcast. Subscribe on iTunes and Spotify today. So we'll see you next time on the GGB Podcast. Get a